You are Locked On Packers.
I feel like we can run the table.
Your daily Green Bay Packers podcast.
Rodgers gets out.
Part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Floats it.
Your team.
Cobb.
Every day.
Touchdown.
You are Locked On Packers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. I'm Peter Bukowski, going to cover the Packers for The Leap, a newsletter I would love for you to subscribe to. You can follow me on Twitter at Peter_Bukowski. You can follow the podcast on Twitter at Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, on Spotify, on Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts. You will find Locked On Packers, the number one Packers podcast on the internet, and the show for fans who know what happened. They want to know why and how. You can also check us out on YouTube. We streamed live after the Monday night football game, and we will be streaming live on YouTube on Sunday after the Green Bay Packers take on the San Francisco 49ers in San Jose, coming up on Sunday night in primetime. Another primetime tensil test for this Green Bay Packers team. Just how good are they? How good can they be? We will find out a lot of the answers to those questions coming up this Sunday. The Locked On NFL Draft podcast relaunched yesterday with brand new hosts. Eric Crocker brings you the player scouting. Ryan Tracy brings you the analytics. Follow the Locked On NFL Draft podcast on YouTube, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get podcasts. Of course, it is Wednesday, and so that means it is Zhao Yu Doing. Lily Zhao from Fox 6 in Milwaukee will be here to bring her unique perspective to what's going on with the Green Bay Packers. We will get to that in just a little bit. I went back and watched the game, and I got the All-22. Right now, the NFL is not being very forthright with the coach's tape. And so you have to go to the black market sources to get these things, apparently. And so, you know, we got to do what we got to do to bring the people the content that they need, the best way that we can possibly bring it to you. And so that is what we're trying to do here. And frankly, I didn't need the All-22. I didn't need the coach's tape to see what I think is obvious to see, and that is Eric Stokes is the second best boundary corner on this team, and that needs to be the case moving forward. And that John Runyon Jr. should be the left guard moving forward. These are not new or hot takes. This was my take in August. That's what I thought the offensive line was going to look like. I was a little surprised, and I guess more than a little surprised, when in mid to late August, you know, the conversations are about, oh, Royce Newman is the guy who's going to step in at right guard. And then even though he lost his job to Royce Newman, he's the guy, Lucas Patrick is, who's going to go over to left guard instead of John Runyon Jr., who I thought just was more likely to be the guy there. Whether or not he had some issues with okay. Tom Silverstein said that the Packers were not thrilled with the strength strides that John Runyon Jr. made. Okay, that's fine. It's not ideal, but the play on the field says John Runyon Jr. is the better player because Lucas Patrick has been really bad, has not been good in the preseason, has not been good in training camp by all accounts. And so, you know, it's the old office space. What is it that you would say you do here exactly? So I'm not going to be surprised if John Runyon Jr. takes this job moving forward. What is really frustrating and what is difficult to understand is this is not Monday morning quarterbacking post hoc analysis. This is stuff that we've been saying for weeks before the season opened, before training camp opened. We knew what Kevin King was. Kevin King was there to be the guy on the team that you have if the guys that you would rather play can't play. So if Eric Stokes is not ready right away, if he is struggling and he's not good, then Kevin King is your guy. Lucas Patrick, if JRJ and Josh Myers and Royce Newman can't hold it down, then Lucas Patrick is your guy. Why? If there's going to be changes here in the next week or two or three, and by the way, there are going to be changes here in the next week or two or three, Lucas Patrick is not going to be the long-term starter at guard. Kevin King is not going to be the long-term starter at tackle or at cornerback. Definitely not tackle. And that would be a hell of a misnomer. So why did we have this whole song and dance? Because if it's even close in the case of Eric Stokes and Kevin King, you play the other guy. You play Eric Stokes because we've seen the movie. We've seen the movie with Kevin King. And it is straight to Blu-ray. That there is no theater release. That is on-demand only movies. And that's not fair right now because, you know, plenty of good movies right now are being released only on demand. But look, we know what that looks like. It's not getting better. It's only going to be what it has been. Eric Stokes, he can be a lot better. I got a text from someone that I know that works with NFL players, let's say, and is a coach. I'm trying to be a little cagey about all this. And he said, we had the book on Kevin King. And not very good. Not what he said, but see I'm gonna spare you a little bit of the gory details on this. Said we didn't think he was very good. Okay. I'm being pretty diplomatic on the phrasing. But he said 21, referring to Eric Stokes, is gonna be good. Okay. If the other teams can see this. If the teams that are preparing for the Packers can see this, then it is obvious to other teams and it has to be obvious to the Packers. So if that's the case, why did we deal with all of this? Is it just an elaborate face-saving thing for the organization? Is it just, oh, this is how this works because veterans, whatever? Frankly, I don't care about what the answer is. It's a lot like the preseason part of it. Why didn't Eric Stokes play in the preseason? You can't explain it. Because if he's not going to play in the preseason, then he's got to start and he's got to go out there because you think he's ready. That's the deal. If he's not going to play, it's because you think he is ready to go right now, in which case he should start. Period. And I do think he is going to be the boundary corner when they go to nickel against the 49ers. And he's a de facto starter now. He played starter snaps by week two, and they moved Kevin King to the slot. And now what they have to figure out, or at least what they have to relay to us by snap count, is did they move Kevin King to the slot because they felt like they needed to find a place for him because you want to play your three best corners? Or because you felt like you had to because of contract, because of seniority, because of experience, all that stuff. Channon Sullivan is a better slot corner, especially in man-to-man coverage, than Kevin King. There's just no question about it. Eric Stokes is the second best boundary corner on this team. Jair Alexander is the first best. And so those are the guys who need to be playing all the boundary reps at corner. You want to figure out the nickel? Fine. Figure out the nickel. If you want to put Kevin King out there, make sure it's in situations on early downs where he might face a tight end who's split out. Hopefully, if it's against teams that are not going to kill you with their slot receivers, if you're playing man, because you can't be predictable by personnel. If Kevin King is out there, they have no shot to guard Deebo Samuel. No shot in the slot. They need Jair Alexander on Deebo Samuel. They need Channon Sullivan on Deebo Samuel. They need even Eric Stokes on Deebo Samuel. They're going to have to find ways to make this all work from a personnel standpoint. So I don't understand why you put Kevin King in the slot, except for the places when you're going to play zone, because he can be a solid underneath zone defender with the length and his ability to read the quarterback's eyes. He's not going to give you much in run support. So unfortunately, he's going to have to tackle if he's going to play in the slot. Not going to give you much there. So if it were me, he's on special teams now. He's a gunner. He's running down on kick return. He's trying to block punts. That's Kevin King's role on this team. And he's a backup that if, God forbid, Jair Alexander or Eric Stokes get hurt, he can go out there and play. That is the best role for Kevin King on this team. I don't want to gild the lily on this Kevin King stuff. I don't want to beat a dead horse. But if the Packers want to be a Super Bowl team, it is not with 20 as your starting boundary corner. Not when 21 has looked just significantly better. And on the offensive line, I don't feel strongly about it because we've seen Lucas Patrick be fine. Lucas Patrick last year was a solid football player. So if the case for Matt LaFleur is, well, yes, he's had kind of a rocky camp and he's not been the guy that we're used to seeing. They have liked Lucas Patrick in Green Bay for a long time. So it's not going to bother me if they say, we're just going to give him the chance to work through this for a week or two. But Matt LaFleur did not say that. He didn't do the Matt Nagy, he's the quarterback when healthy thing with Dalton, which is just, oh my God, you guys. It's just the best. It's just the best to watch the Bears draft a potential franchise quarterback and just still pee down their leg in handling it. It's just the best. But I'm not going to feel as strongly about it just because I don't know that John Runyon Jr. has the same sort of upside potential that Stokes does. And I don't think he offers, even if he does, let's just assume for a second that he does. I don't know, or I don't think Lucas Patrick is nearly the net negative that Kevin King is. And so I don't know that playing JRJ over him is the kind of upgrade that Stokes is for the defense. So that's a key difference. And that is an important difference. So if they're close, I'm actually fine saying, okay, the veteran should do it because we've seen the veteran, in this case, Lucas Patrick, be good, be solid. We haven't seen that from Kevin King. And that's the big difference in this scenario. So if JRJ really, and I thought he played really, really well on Monday. If he has to go out there and be extraordinary, well, then you're getting a guy who's extraordinary and that's great. You don't need that. And hopefully Lucas Patrick can give you the reps that he can give you. But this tells me the fact that they played JRJ over Lucas Patrick, despite the fact that Lucas Patrick started, lost the job at right guard, got moved to left guard and won in scare quotes that job. And then even though he was cleared to play, did not play because John Runyon Jr. practiced all week. That tells me that they think those two are pretty close. And the fact that JRJ went out there and played as well as he did on Monday tells me that your best five does not include Lucas Patrick. Now, I know it's one game and you don't want to overreact. So if they put Lucas Patrick out there again, I'll get it. I'll understand. But if he struggles again, that leash has got to be short. This is a Super Bowl or bust team. So there's no messing around on this. There's no messing around. They have to get this right. And the leash is for basically everyone when you think you might have a better option behind him. Got to be a quick hook for those players. Today's episode is brought to you by Bet Online. Bet Online is your number one spot for pro and college football action this season. With a new updated site and interface, even more odds, props, and contests, betonline.ag continues to be the number one source for everything football. Head to the website or use your mobile device to sign up today to receive your 100% welcome bonus when you use that promo code LOCKEDON. Use that promo code LOCKEDON. You put money in, they match it. Bingo. Up to 100%. From football, basketball, boxing, right to your favorite Las Vegas casino games, don't wait to take advantage of the amazing offers available for the 2021 season. Bet Online, your online sportsbook experts. Hey, Packers fans, this is your kind, your gentle host, Peter Bukowski, with an incredible app everyone who buys gas needs to know about. It's GetUpside. Who else would be doing these ad reads? I don't know. My listeners are making up to 25 cents for every gallon of gas every time they fill up. Just download the free Get Upside app in the App Store or Google Play right now and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get a bonus 25 cents per gallon on your first fill up. That's up to 50 cents cash back. I got a message yesterday from a listener who said, hey, I saved a bunch of money using that app. Don't pay full price at the pump anymore. Get cash back using Get Upside. Just download the app for free and use the promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon back on your first tank. And you can cash out anytime to your bank account, PayPal, or an e-card, or get for Amazon and other brands. So many ways for you to make this work for you. Just download the free Get Upside app and use promo code TOUCHDOWN to get up to 50 cents a gallon cash back on your first tank. That's code TOUCHDOWN. For the first time this season, we get to bring in our friend Lily Zhao from Fox 6 after a Packers victory. And that makes it all the more special to say, Lily, how you doing?
Peter, I am doing great. It is, like you said, lovely just to be talking Packers football after a win. I think we were all kind of wondering how this team would respond, how they would look in week two. So I'm doing great. Excited to be back on the podcast. How you doing?
I am good. I am glad that we do not have to talk about the drama anymore, at least for this week. Who knows if they get blown up by San Francisco, the drama will all come back. That's just the way this roller coaster is going to ride, I think, this season, unfortunately. So everyone get those shoulder harnesses in place. Do that, you know, make sure your valuables are all in your pockets because it's going to be that kind of season. Let's start there, Lily, after the game. On a scale of 1 to 10, just how happy was Aaron Rodgers to call out the haters and the losers and the trolls?
I know Lisa Salters asked him if he was like an I told you so guy, and he said no, but I feel like deep down,
we know,
gotta be up there like 9 or 10, 100%.
Also,
like I told you,
he is 100% an I told you so guy. So, yeah. Like for him to say that is hysterical, and that's fine. I'm an I told you so guy. It's not even a criticism. It's one of those things. So they go out and they have a much better offensive game. The defense still needs some work. To what degree did this at least sort of quell your whatever burbling fears you had about what this offense could be after a disastrous week one performance?
I think this is what we expected week one, right? We expected there to be a lot of Aaron Jones. We expected there to be a lot of the ground game. We expected Davante Adams to make those. How did Davante Adams make those catches? I think that's the product we expected to see, and we finally saw it, albeit against a Lions defense that, you know, at their front, you know, pretty good quarterbacks, you know, not a lot of guys. So take it with a grain of salt, but a win is a win is a win. And, you know, this is what we expected to see. But like you mentioned, defensively, it's still a problem.
Yeah. I think it's one of those things like the Vegas line here didn't move from before the game to after the game. So it's one of those things where it's like, I'm not impressed with what I saw. They were what they're supposed to be. When they play above that, that's when I'll be impressed. And that's, I don't even think that's like a hater take. That's just like, no, this is what their offense is supposed to look like. And so if they go out and just do what we expect, maybe we should be more impressed. Maybe we should appreciate the greatness and all that stuff. And to be fair, Aaron Jones, awesome. Davante Adams, you know, had by far his best game of the season. Rodgers, same thing. But you mentioned the defense, Lily. The second half, how much of what they did in the second half makes you go, okay, I feel better about this? And how much of it was, maybe the Lions are still just the Lions?
I think there's a bit of both, right? Mm-hmm. And obviously, the fumble that Jared Goff had, you know, the rain, I think, played a big factor in that. But I do
small
feel
hands
like
that Jared Goff.
I have small hands too, though, so I can't really say.
Well, you're not an NFL quarterback, Lily.
That's true. Touche. So I feel like it's a product of, you know, again, it's still early. The Lions are still, I think, a good team with Jared Goff, but they're not going to be like, you know, a Chiefs or a Bucks team, you know. So there was improvement in terms of getting a fourth down stop there. Derek Stokes, improvement with rushing the quarterback at the very end, improvement with getting a takeaway. But I think it's kind of concerning, though, when at halftime, Matt LaFleur is saying, we still have to get pressure on the quarterback because Jared Goff had pockets all day long just to probably eat dinner and do his taxes and mm-hmm. anything he wanted in the pocket because he was so untouched. I think the pressure up front is still an issue that they have to get corrected, but you know, they did what they had to do down the stretch, and it helps when your offense is putting up 35 points.
What do you think Jared Goff has for dinner?
Ooh, I'd say chicken, broccoli. No, that seems very plain and average.
No, right? But I don't know. But like that seems right to me. No, you know what's so funny is that's exactly what I thought. I was like, he eats boneless, skinless chicken breast,
yes,
broccoli, and
sweet potato.
And I think he goes white rice. I don't think he goes like full, just like football guy. But then like for dessert, he has ice cream. I think that's what Jared Goff is. I think that's what he's doing back there.
Pretty balanced, healthy meal, I'd say.
Exactly. I think that's maybe that's the reason for the Packers home field advantage, is because, you know, people like go to Kroll's and stuff before the game, and they're not used to eating like that. Speaking of eating, Aaron Jones, eight. Exactly. And this was something that they telegraphed. They said all week, we need to run the ball more. And when you look at the final score sheet, you're going, they didn't actually run it that great. So, I mean, is this something that you think they just need to say, okay, we need to make sure if the teams are going to play too high, we have to commit to doing this, even if it's not going to work that well. They didn't break off, you know, Aaron Jones didn't have his 50 yarder that he, you know, sometimes gets. They didn't have the big passing play, but they were able to do enough. Is that how they're going to have to live in some of these games, do you think?
Yeah, I think so. You know, especially when they're playing too high, you're not going to be able to get those huge pass plays down the field. So you just have to take what they give you, just those small, quick passes. You just go underneath and just kind of dink and dunk them that way. You know, we saw that 50-yard bomb to Devontae, but outside of that, I mean, he tried MVS multiple times and just out threw him just a smidge. So that might have changed the look of the game if they had connected on a couple long touchdowns there. But you know what? You know, when they're playing a defense, you know, like that, then you're just gonna have to just really dink and dunk. But like you mentioned, though, you know, Aaron Jones is, you know, four touchdowns, but multiple were through the air. They were receiving touchdowns. Yep. He wasn't pounding them in on the ground. But I think the kind of message is get Aaron Jones involved, whether it's on the ground, it's in the passing game. You need him to make a difference offensively. And when you get him involved, you put up 30 plus points.
Yeah, no question about it. And I mentioned on the show yesterday that this is an offense that can still get better. They missed the MVS shots, as you mentioned, that they were hitting last year. I mean, those were now maybe they were hitting MVS in the hands and then hitting the dirt, but they were also hitting those big plays and that connection after, you know, Marquez gets off to this, he has a great camp and everyone is raving about this leap that he's going to make this year. And they just haven't been able to get on the same page. What is your confidence level that they can reach the sorts of heights that we saw in 2020? To have us say, oh yeah, they were awesome, not just, oh yeah, we expected them to play well and they did.
I think it'll hopefully come to fruition when David Bakhtiari is back with the team. Like when they're at full strength, I feel like that's when they can make that next leap. And luckily for them, it's hopefully in what, about another month-ish, that they can potentially have him back. So, you know, there's still a good chunk of the season left when he does return. So I think that's when you can see them making that next leap. But I think right now what we're seeing is the offense we expected to see. And like you mentioned, I think this is an offense that can get better. It's just, you know, Rodgers is running into sacks. You know, they're still having a couple issues there.
About?
Yeah, that was just very uncharacteristic, right? I feel like sometimes when he's out of the pocket, he just instinctually knows there's a defender there. So he goes the opposite way, but you know, didn't happen a couple times last night, but I do believe that there is another footing for this offense. It's just going to take a little bit of time to get there.
Do they need more Randall Cobb in this offense? Cause we saw a little bit more. He made a couple catches on third down to convert plays.
I think so. I mean, that's why you bring him back, right? I know he was brought back because Aaron Rodgers wanted him. He was brought back because he has veteran leadership. He, you know, quote unquote, doesn't really know Matt LaFleur's offense, but he is, you know, a quick learner. I think that getting him involved is important, especially on those third downs when he was just able to convert. I think he's an integral part of this offense. And I think he's somebody that hopefully we can see get a touchdown or two down the stretch here.
Defensively, obviously the standout is Eric Stokes. I mean, I think that's the takeaway that you have coming out of this game. He had some early struggles. I tell myself, Lily, before every game, I tell myself, do not assign blame to coverage busts in these games, because we just don't know from the TV copy. And yet every game I do it. I have to remind myself not to do this, because we heard from Matt LaFleur and he was like, okay, on one of those, not Eric Stokes' fault, even though Peyton and Eli said it was, by the way. The difference in movement skills to me is so profound with Kevin King. I kind of liked the role that he was in. What was your takeaway from what we saw from Stokes?
You know, outside of the very first touchdown, which breakdown there when Quintez Cephas scored, I feel like he was able to really go toe to toe and stride for stride with these receivers. I thought he was in the right place at the right time that he needs to be. You know, obviously this is still two games into his pro career, so he's going to need some more time to mature. But I think, you know, a lot of questions were posed on Twitter. It's, can we start Eric Stokes? Can he get a lot more reps over Kevin King? And I feel like if he's going to keep playing the way he does, especially in that fourth and one where he broke up the pass, I feel like that's going to be a potential, but I really do like what I see with him. He is fast. I think it's just more of just give him some more time to just mature, but I think he's going to be really good for this defense.
Why didn't we see him in the preseason? This is one of those bizarre questions, because, you know, he's young. He's going to have these breakdowns. And if they don't think he's ready to start, then he needs the work, right? Josh Myers, Royce Newman, they needed the work. Why did Eric Stokes not? And then now, I mean, we're talking about he could start in week three, and yet he hasn't even had these preseason game reps. I mean, what did the Packers miscalculate there? What do you think the thought process was? It seems bizarre to me.
That is a great question. And I feel like that's only one that the coaches are going to know, because I feel like you said, for the obvious reasons, he is a rookie. He needs to get those snaps in preseason, because again, who knows what his role will be in the regular season. You know, it's like, he's not like a top pick, or he's not going to automatically start, right? Not that they always do, but I feel like that's a good question. It's, you know, if he got more snaps, there might have been maybe more leeway to say, oh, we could potentially start him week two, because we have seen a lot of it in the preseason, what it can do, versus, well, maybe he's using the regular season as an audition to potentially start. So that's a good question, Peter. I don't have an answer, but I feel like the answer now is to just get him on the field more and then have him produce, and then you're good to go.
If he keeps playing well, right, this all gets taken care of. And it's the same with John Runyon Jr. You know, I thought he had a really good game Monday night. Maybe he's the starting left guard moving forward, at least until Elgton Jenkins. You know, we'll see what they do with the offensive line there. It seems baffling to me. If he's going to take this job as quickly as he did, then why wasn't it just his job? And ironically, this happened with Kevin King. When he was a rookie, he was like the fourth corner all of training camp. There was one injury, and like by week three, he's starting. And it's just like, well, yeah, then why wasn't he doing all of this all along? It just doesn't make sense to me. I know you don't have the answer, so I'm sorry that I'm now like ranting at you, but it's it's frustrating to me. So as we try and push this forward now, this is a marquee game. Prime time again. Packers, 49ers. I said during the game, Kyle Shanahan is going to hang 50 on this team. What do they need to do to prevent that from happening, do you think? Not schematically, but just give me something. Give me some hope that they're not going to lose by 50 is really what I'm asking.
Yeah, I feel like, you know, in that first half, I'm pretty sure Kyle Shanahan was just like licking his chops, like, man, we're going to have some fun. And obviously, we know the track record for this team in California is not good as of late. We don't want this to be a reversion back to week one where it's, you know, no one shows up. I feel like the difference just has to be up front. They have to get pressure on the quarterback. That's just been the issue, because like we all know, get pressure on the quarterback, good things will happen. Either that, or they just got to stop the run. They just got to make them one dimensional. I think it's one of the two, but I think that pressure on the quarterback has to be their kind of key thing that they need to do against the Niners. It's not something we've seen them do very well. And I mean, a couple of times they blitzed. So maybe, hey, blitz some more. I don't know. Maybe that would help as well. But I think they just got to get in the face of the quarterback and affect him that way, because otherwise it's going to be a long day.
Yeah, I think the other part of it is they have to be able to score. I mean, this was a problem for them, in 2019. They couldn't score. And so the 49ers could do whatever they wanted offensively. And Matt LaFleur said it in his press conference. The reason the defense started to play better in the second half is the Packers had the lead. And so that made the Lions offense a little bit more one-dimensional than you would otherwise make it. And I got this great quote from a league source. He told me after week one, you know, that defense, I think it can be a top 10 unit, but it can only be as good as the offense lets it be. And that's true of every defense. And so that's a quote I just keep going back to. The defense can only be as good as the offense lets it be. So with that, I ask you, finally, how does this offense stay on it? Because we've seen it, you know, they'll have these games where they look like they can score 35 against anybody. And then they have a game where it's just like, what? And those games are usually in California, by the way.
Yes, they are. I think the big key was obviously just extending drives and just getting those third downs. Because like we said, week one, they couldn't buy a third down. Just couldn't buy one until the fourth quarter. And yep. Jordan Love was in last right. week. And week two, they were just automatically getting third downs, whether it was to Devontae, to Randall Cobb. They just need to extend drives. They just got to keep their offense on the field. They can't have defense be on the field for 10 plus minutes. It's not going to bode them well, because when Aaron Rodgers is on the sideline, the Packers are not scoring points. So I think they just got to be very smart in how they attack this. They got to get the ground game going. I know it hasn't been a big factor, but they just got to extend drives and put some points on. Like you said, Peter, it's take the three if you need to, right? You just got to get some points. Because I think the last thing I think Packers fans want to see is another trip out west that ends in another poor showing. So we'll see how they respond. And I'm cautiously optimistic, I guess, this time around.
Yeah, I think the cautious optimism is where I am. I don't really think the 49ers are really going to score 50
no,
or that the Packers
no.
are going to lose by 50, but you at least want them to go out and make it a game. Understanding no David Bakhtiari, understanding no Za'Darius Smith. I mean, two of what your five best players probably on this team are missing, but the 49ers, they have their own injury issues. They don't have any cornerbacks. So it's going to be a fascinating matchup. And the great news is, Lily, we get to talk about it next week.
Can't wait.
All right. I want to thank Lily Zhao for joining the program. Always great to talk to her. Of course, we love Lily and we get a win to talk about. We also love that. Today's episode is brought to you by DirecTV Stream. Does this sound familiar? You've got one device that lets you catch the game live. Another that lets you stream your favorite shows. You're watching sports highlights on your phone and you've got your neighbor's best friend's login for that other stuff. Well, I want to tell you about a simple way to get all the entertainment that you love without the hassle and a great way to finally get your TV together. It's called DirecTV Stream, and it brings you live TV and on demand together like never before, so you can watch your favorite sports, movies, and shows all in one place. That means no more juggling remotes and no need to buy another device ever again. And the best part, no annual contract. So get rid of the clutter and the confusion and get your TV together with DirecTV Stream. You can learn more at DirecTV.com. That's DirecTV.com. Compatible device required and content may vary by package, of course. Today's episode is brought to you by our friends at Built Bar. Built Bar is the best tasting protein bar ever. It's the protein bar that tastes like a candy bar. And this week, there is a limited time flavor cookie dough chunk. Got a message about it today, in fact. Hey, what do you think of the cookie dough chunk? I have to be honest, I haven't tried the cookie dough chunk, but what I told this person was every limited time flavor that Built Bar has had, I have devoured. In fact, some of my favorite brands, my favorite flavors have been those limited time flavors. The grasshopper cookie, the coconut brownie, they have all delivered in ways that I never imagined they could. They not only taste great, but they are good for you. High in protein, high in fiber, low in net carbs, and low in sugar. So go to built.com right now and use promo code LOCKED15 to get 15% off your first order. That's promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com. And betting on the Packers doesn't have to be a guessing game. If you listen to the new Locked On Bets podcast hosted by your boy Q and handicapping expert Lee Sterling, get daily picks, blowout specials, wrong team favored picks, and Lee Sterling's lock of the day. They have been killing it this season. They have a win rate this year over 60%, which means if you are following their advice, you are making $1. Follow the Locked On Bets podcast brought to you by betonline.ag wherever you get podcasts. We're going to be back tomorrow with our friends at the Locked On Niners podcast for our crossover Thursday and then live on Friday. Like I said, we got to figure out timing on that. I will let you know on tomorrow's show and of course on Twitter so you can be sure to be there for our live show on Friday. Follow me on Twitter, Peter_Bukowski. Follow the podcast on Twitter, Locked On Packers. Like us on Facebook. Subscribe to the podcast, iTunes, Spotify, Google Podcasts, wherever you find podcasts, you will find Locked On Packers. Go subscribe on YouTube. We're going to be doing more of this YouTube stuff. We did have a little bit of an issue yesterday and affected our audio, unfortunately. So the first couple of minutes of the show yesterday, a little bit garbled, had some skip issues. We are in early season mode as well, but we're trying a lot of new things and hopefully you guys are enjoying it. And anytime you want to be a part of the show, and you want to send us your messages, your input, your feedback, all that stuff, you can send it to the Locked On Packers fan hotline, 920-341-3775. To stay Locked On Packers.